Blog Talk Radio.
Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Give me you. Everything else can wait. Lord, give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. 'Cause it's me, oh Lord. I'm on my knees, crying out
Brokatov, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. Rise and shine. It is 7 o'clock, 7:05 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Today's date is the fourth day of January of the new Gregorian calendar year of 2014. And it is also the fourth day of the month of Shavuot of the year 5774. Good morning and welcome to Talk, Teach, and Testify Ministries. I am your brother, the Obadiah-U, which means I am a humble servant of the Most High Yah of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm your brother, Rinaldo Wade, and welcome to Talk, Teach, and Testify Ministries. I am so happy and excited that you are here by divine appointment to receive the teachings of the kingdom of Yah. Hallelujah. We just got through listening to a beautiful soaking song to start off, Give Me You by Shauna Wilson. Please get that on your MP3 player or on your iPod. It is a beautiful soaking song to just worship the Father in. I love that song, so I had to play it for you this morning. Hallelujah. Yesterday, you know, just before I go into the announcements, yesterday was a very blessed teaching on yesterday morning as we were on part one of the seven enemies that is trying to hinder you from reaching your destiny in Yah, and we went over those. I'm going to go ahead and give a brief review of each one of those. Those of you who were late or better yet, who cannot make it to yesterday's teachings, we're going to go ahead and clear the air, put out the first four that we went over. It will bless you, and I have scripture readings as well from the word of the true and living Yah that will go with these enemies, and also we're going to also go over the other three. Just a couple of announcements before we go ahead and begin. Those of you who live around in the Georgia area, the Atlanta, Georgia area and surrounding areas, Marietta and such cities, the Kingdom Harvest Fellowship Center will be having Shabbat prayer and worship. We start at exactly 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. So we start at 10 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock a.m., rise and shine. We go ahead and get into the presence of Yah, and we experience a major move every time we are here at the Kingdom Harvest Fellowship Center. So those of you who would like prayer and you would like to come on up, if you are around in the Georgia area, you could come right on in to the Kingdom Harvest, and we will greet you with the love of the Most High. Hallelujah. And also, we have new discipleship class. Those of you who would like to become a member, if you live in the Georgia area, you'd like to become a disciple, come right on in to the Kingdom Harvest. The address is 312 South Tennessee Street, and that is in Cartersville, Georgia, 30120. So that is our address. If you'd like to come on in and rejoice and have worship and fellowship with us in the name of Yah, you may also come on in at 11 o'clock. That is when we start service here. We start off with prayer, and then we shift it to praise and worship. So we have a very good time here at the Kingdom Harvest, and you would enjoy, amen, being at home right here. So also on Wednesdays, we do also have biblical studies here every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. as well. So we also have Wi-Fi and all those good accommodations that you need, you know, to serve, you know, Yah. If you need to look up some scriptures on your computer or on your tablet, we have all of that available for you. So I just praise Yah that we are open and available to serve the kingdom citizens of the Most High. I will not be on the air tomorrow. Your brother's going to go ahead and take a break, and then I should resume on Monday. And I'm pushing for Monday morning. How about that? 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. Your brother will be on the air bringing forth a word. Hallelujah. Good morning to each and every one of you. Good morning, Sister Campbell. Hallelujah. Good morning to also Prophet Wilson. Good morning to you. Good morning to Pastor McAllister down in Texas and to Prophet Lane as well here in Cartersville, and also to Prophet Lambert. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for your fellowship. Hallelujah. That is way up there in Connecticut. Good morning to you. Delaware. She's up further, so she's in Delaware. So good morning to you. Also to Sister Cheryl, that is in, hallelujah, Connecticut. That's what I meant to say. May Yah bless you, and thank you so much for giving a very, encouraging word to me through Facebook. May Yah continue to bless you and keep you. Thank you so much for being an encourager to me this morning. Hallelujah. Also to Sister Shay. I can't forget Minister Talita Smith Lowry, that is in Philadelphia. May Yah bless you and keep you. My covenant brother, cannot wait to speak unto him. Bishop Johnny Williams, who is listening. He is in Orlando, Florida. Hallelujah. Good morning unto you, sir. Brokatov, kingdom blessings unto you. And to your sheep, hallelujah, the evangelist, hallelujah, Renee Norton Smith. She's probably listening as well. Hallelujah to the both of you and to your families as well. And to all of you that's listening in, Sister Joan and everybody else, Sister Joyce, welcome to the Talk, Teach, and Testify Ministries teaching. Okay. Y'all just feel like y'all just family to me. So that's the way we're supposed to be, right? Amen. One big family. All righty. Let's go over. I'd like to just say a short word of prayer, if you don't mind. We're going to make Tefillah unto the Father. And this morning, I'm just praying this morning that each and every one of you that received this teaching, that you will overcome these seven enemies that is in front of you, that's trying to keep you from your destiny with the Father. Okay, so that's what I want to do. I want to just present a short prayer, and then we will go straight into the Word of Yah and go into the teachings. After the teachings, I will have the line available. You can press 1 on your telephone keypad if you have called in, and that way you can ask your question or present a comment. And those of you who are online, you can call in at area code 347-884-8468 at the conclusion of the teaching, and you may answer, you may ask your questions, or you can, of course, speak your mind. I would rather do that. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, right now for this day, because this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now, Lord, for what you have done and for what you're doing for your people. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that walked here on the earth. Heavenly Father, he died on the cross, he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and he was resurrected by your power for the remission of our sins. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now, Lord, for the Holy Ghost that dwells within us, that he will teach us all things, and he keeps us in all remembrance of you. And Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have commanded us to be strong of a good courage, that we will observe to do all of your Torah, all of your law. And Lord, we know that as we obey your Torah, that we will prosper wherever we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for holding our hand through the valley of the shadow of death. We thank you for being our shepherd. We shall not want anyone else for but you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our Redeemer, our Savior, our shelter, our judge, our everything. You are the Ancient of Days. You are the Everlasting Father, the Great I Am that I Am. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We glorify you. We exalt your holy name. Heavenly Father, those who need healing on this line this morning, mentally, physically, financially, even psychologically, Heavenly Father, touch them, Lord, right now, Lord, under the power that you have given me, Lord, right now in the name of Yahushua. And Heavenly Father, we give you the glory, the honor, and all the praise this morning. We rejoice because we are more than conquerors. We are overcomers. We are victorious, and we are joint heirs of your kingdom. Heavenly Father, we give you all of this, and please, Lord, accept our prayers this morning on this line. In the name of Yahushua of Nazareth, we do ask and pray. Amen. Amen. I'm ready. I'm excited. There was a move. Whew. It was a move on this line yesterday morning. And we prayed that we applied the blood of Yahushua on this line so we could feel the presence of him this morning as he gives us our daily bread, our fresh manna, which comes from the heavens above. Hallelujah. Alrighty. Seven enemies that's trying to prohibit you from achieving your apostolic prophetic destiny in him. The anointing that is over your life. The enemy does not want you to obtain it. He wants you to give up your faith. And we know without faith, it is impossible to please the Father. There are enemies. And these enemies, we went over them on yesterday. A lot of them, guess where they are? They are within you. And these are the enemies that must be defeated. We must allow the Holy Ghost to defeat these enemies so we can walk in our kingdom dominion and kingdom power and kingdom authority, like he had commanded us to do back in Bereshit, or the book of Genesis, chapter 1. But this morning, we're going to go over a brief review of the first four enemies that we read about and that we have encountered with. Each and every one of us have encountered this enemy in one shape or form or another, and we have overcome, we have overcame those. It was very powerful. I spoke to my spiritual daughter, as well as a very dear sister of mine. And both of them said that they fell on their face and asked the Father to forgive them for the first enemy, which is the fear factor, which is the enemy of fear. The thing about fear is that we went over and we said that fear is often birthed from unbelief. It is often birthed from glory unto Yah for not putting your trust in the Most High. And people, a lot of times, they experience deflation, if you will, or depletion of their strength in Yah when they have fear. Before we go over fear, let's go over Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. And this is our foundation scripture that we went over and that we have read, and we see the seven enemies right here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. May the Lord have a blessing upon the reader, hearer, and doer of his word. So we in Dadmitvar, chapter number 7, verse 1. It says, when the Lord thy Yah shall cast thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and have cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Avitites, and the Jezubites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Elohim thy Yah shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite it, and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them, thy daughter. Thou shalt not give unto thy son, and nor his daughter shalt thou give unto thy son. For they would turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of Yah be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. Hallelujah. Here it is. He warns us and he tells us to go into your destiny, the land which you're supposed to possess. That is the anointing. That is the inheritance that he has for you. And you must cast out many nations out of you. Okay? You got to cast out these particular enemies so you will have the victory. Now, when we read verse 2, before we go back into the enemies, he tells us what to do with these enemies, right? He tells us to, he will deliver them before thee. Okay, you see that? First of all, he's going to deliver them to us, unto us, and then we shall smite them or kill them. Not only that, you have to also destroy them. The reason why the Father says this is that a lot of times when people beat down a particular enemy, and they give it a little crack for them to arise up or for it to relapse back into your spirit man. And you can't do that. You are not to even make a covenant with these enemies. You can't even show mercy. Remember, I talked about on yesterday, what peace got to do with that? You know, you can't make peace with your enemy. Why? Is because, and I'm talking about the eternal enemy, okay? It's because that enemy is trying to destroy you. The enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy, correct? So, hallelujah. So, we cannot allow these particular enemies to take over our spirit man and lead us away from our destiny. Hallelujah. The first enemy that we talked about was the Hittites, right? We said that this represents fear. It comes from the root word Hatat, which means fear or terror. Okay? It means to be depleted of your strength, or you are deflated, or to be deflated. It also means to take away the support structure or the willpower that is within you. Now, come on, somebody. Let's discuss this. Remember, we talked about how fear, when the enemy senses the fear that you have, and they can smell that on you, what it does is that now it feels that it can win. It can beat you. Okay? And if you already fear your enemy, you have already lost the battle. Okay? So this is the one thing that is so important for you to overcome is fear. A lot of fear within people. They stay within themselves, and what happens? Now they can't go forth into their ministries. They're not able to speak their minds. They're not even able to, glory unto Yah, do what the Father told them to do. And as a result, they stay stagnated because they are afraid, A, of what their family might say about them, about their friends. What about the people in your congregation or your church? They're afraid of them. They're afraid of people at your, you know, at their jobs, you know. And watch this, shyness, it comes under this category. People are always blaming, I'm shy. That's a sugar-coated way of saying that you're scared. And I said it in the country type of manner. So you cannot be afraid of the enemy. You must stand up to the enemy. If you draw nigh to Yah and resist him, he will flee from you. So you're not to run from the enemy. He will flee from you. But you must draw nigh to the power source, to the one who has given you the victory. We talked about how to defeat fear. Number one, you must understand where fear originated from. And remember, we went over into 2 Timothy, right? We looked at 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 7. And it's very important for people to understand this passage because its power is powerful and so profound. It says, for Yah has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I love verse 8 too because it says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of Yah, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in the word before the world began. So here it is, people. You cannot be ashamed of your testimony. Okay? People have a lot of fear into not telling one another how they have overcame, the enemy. You are partakers of the long suffering. A lot of people like to shy and fear and fear away from their long sufferings. And trust me, you have to go through those, okay? If you suffer with him, you shall also what? Reign with him. Hallelujah. So you defeat fear by number one, knowing its origin. Number two, remembering what purpose that fear has. Now, when I read this on yesterday, I mean, we felt a shift in the atmosphere. A lot of people felt it. From Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. Remember, the scripture says that the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in Yah shall be safe. So when you put your trust in him, when you have your faith, when you put all of the marbles and you say, you know, it's like a poker table. Father, I'm all in. I'm betting on you. You will be safe in him. You receive the favor from him. Hallelujah. So this, number two, we must remember the purpose of fear, because it brings a snare. It tries to put a stumbling block in your walk with Yah. Number three, remember, we went over what Yah has promised you. If you go to Yashayahu, or the book according to Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 3, remember, he said that he created us and he formed us and he told us to fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. You are mine, so thou art mine. He tells us, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, you shall not overflow thee. And when thy walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. He said, for I am the Elohim thy Yah, the Holy One of Shireel, thy Savior. So he is our Savior. And he says, fear not, for I am with thee. That's in verse 5. I love that as well. So these are the things that the Father has promised us. He has promised us the victory. He has promised us that we are his. He promised us that he has redeemed us. And we were bought with a ransom. And that is through the blood of the word, the blood of Yahusha. Hallelujah. Here we go. Number two, the second enemy that we're going over. And a very good question that someone asked, and I'd like to answer that before we continue. Very good question. She stated, is fear an enemy of our souls? And that is absolutely correct. All these enemies that I'm going over this morning, these are enemies to your spirit and to your soul that's trying to prohibit you from walking into your destiny. Okay, so these are the seven enemies that's trying to keep you from achieving your kingdom mandate with the Father. Okay, hallelujah. I pray that I answered that question for you. Number two, we read in Deuteronomy chapter number 7, we talked about the Girgashites, and they were descendants of Canaan as well. And these are the bad attitudes that people have. And people try to fake it till they make it and put a smile on their faces and, hey, I love you, sister. I love you, brother. But they still yet and still have inhabited bad attitudes. In Proverbs chapter number 23, verse 7, it reads, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We talked about the heart, how the heart affects everything within a 10-foot radius of you. So even though a person may fake a smile, you can still feel a bad attitude that comes from them. The Girgashites, they represent a bad attitude type of tribe or descendants of Canaan. Number three, we looked at the Amorites. And the Amorites, they represent pride. They boast and lift oneself up, and they act proudly. We see that a lot. Amen, in the congregation today. The Amorites was the most powerful and greatest tribe of Canaan, and they were very arrogant. They were very conceited, vain, and egotistical. We see that as well in the body of, or the household of faith. We see a lot of people very arrogant in their ways and very conceited. You see that a lot with leaders, if you will. And to be an awesome leader, I feel, we need to be very humble and stay under submission, hallelujah, to our Father. And we went over that. Remember, that's how Lucifer was kicked out of heaven. It was based off of his pride that he was removed from the, from the seventh heaven. Here it is. We read it that he was perfect, but iniquity was found in thee. Okay, so watch this. And we're talking about the former minister of praise, if you will. So here it is. Yahuda or Judah, they occupied that land. that once belonged to the Amorites. Catch the revelation. Your praise and your worship, your true praise and your true worship, it occupies and it removes pride out of the way. You see David, very good prime example. He dances out of his garments. He takes off all of his kingdom gear and he bows before the Father and he just dances till his heart's content. That's what true praise does. True praise, it just takes you out of your element. It takes you out of pride. You see a lot of people in the congregation sit there with their legs crossed during service. That's a form of pride. So while pride exalts oneself, your praise and your worship exalts Yah. Let me repeat that again. While your pride exalts yourself, or pride exalts itself, your Judah or your Yahuda, it exalts the Most High. That's powerful right there. We also looked over scriptures pertaining to that. We looked at James chapter number 4, verse number 6. And it says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said that Yah resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. So he does not want to see a proud person. He resists them. But the ones who stay humble, he gives grace unto them. Hallelujah. We also went over the 138th division of Psalms. We went over that as well. Hallelujah. Verse number 6, very powerful scripture here. It says, though the Lord be high, yet had he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knows afar off. So once again, he turns his back on those who are proud. But the ones who stay low, the ones who stay humble unto him, he respects them and he blesses them. And what he does with the ones who are low, he lifts them up and he revives them. And he saves us with the right hand, with the word of Yah. That is in the next verse. Hallelujah. So that is very powerful. And then also, remember, we read from Proverbs chapter number 16, verse number 18. Very powerful scripture there. And that one reads this, that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So a lot of people like to say that warning comes before destruction. That's something that I say awful lot, you know, a little cliche, if you will. But it's true. You know, your pride, it goes before destruction. And if you have a haughty spirit, it goes before your downfall. We read that a lot in the word of Yah with a lot of people, that their pride got in the way and it took them out of the will and the purpose of the Most High. So that is the third enemy, the Amorites. They represent pride and also arrogance, if you will, being conceited, being vainglory about themselves, being egotistic. And please read Romans chapter 1. It tells you the consequences for those who worship themselves more than the Creator. Amen. Here we go. The fourth enemy is the Canaanites, because they were famous for being more merchants, if you will, but they were also characterized because of their greed. You see a lot of greed in the sanctuaries today. Greed is often is an obsession, and it's often obtaining the riches or the wealth that is here on this earth. And we went over, there was a scripture that we went in there as well for us to, it clarified it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Remember, it stated that that they that will be rich, they fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. But verse 10, it says, for the love of Yah, thank you, Holy Ghost, please forgive me. It says, for the love of money, that's the root of all evil. Hallelujah. The love of the money, that is the root of all evil. Not the money, but it's the love of it. Serving Mammon. Mammon is a demonic spirit that is connected to lust, that is connected to, if you will, the things that are on this planet. Okay. So when you have that love, he appears. And that particular thing right there, the money, the love of it, is the root of all evil. And what it does, it causes you to err from your faith. because you start to trust, you have more trust or more faith in the money than you do in the Most High. And we have to flee from these things and follow after righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And that is in the next verse there. Alrighty, we also looked at seven facts about greed. Okay, we almost done with the review, and then we're going to shift into the other three enemies. Number one, with greed, it destroys the greedy. It destroys the greedy. You can read Proverbs chapter number 1, verse 19 for the evidence scripture for that. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. So what it does, it destroys those individuals who practice in greed. Number two, it leads you to poverty. You broke. Okay, that's why you see a lot of people, the more that they thirst and hunger for the money, the greed of it, the more they become broken, you know, and they also are having not only a natural poverty, but they are also in spiritual poverty. When you look in Proverbs chapter number 11, verse 24, it says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and they, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, and it tendeth to poverty. So that's what's connected to greed, is poverty. Remember, I was talking about how when you go out to Las Vegas, and I used to live in Las Vegas, Nevada, and how the suicide rate is the biggest in the United States upon the metropolitan cities. And it is because people take all of that money, their life savings or their family savings, and they blow it all, and they come back broke, or sometimes they don't come back. So, you know, we have to pray for those so that they can be delivered from gambling and things of that nature. Gambling is an addiction, okay? So, and it is often driven by greed, okay? Number three, that it invites trouble. And remember, we told the story of Achan or Achan. That is in Joshua chapter 7. You could read that. But the scripture that backs that up as well is Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 27. And that one says, he that is greedy of gain troubles his own house. Okay? But he that hates gifts shall live. So those who are greedy, you not only, you're bringing trouble on yourself, but everybody else in the house. Okay? You're bringing trouble into your home. And we see that when people are greedy and play a lot of lottery tickets and where's the money, honey? And there it is. I spent it all. So that brings a lot of trouble. It troubles the home. Alrighty. Number four is that it is never satisfied. Never is never satisfied. You can go over to two scripture readings. That is in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 4, verses 7 and 8. And also in the book of Ecclesiastes, the next chapter, chapter number 5. Verses 10 and 11, that it is vanity. Alrighty. Number 5 is that it chokes the word, and the word talks about it. I mean, the Hamashiach, all right? Yahusha talks about it in Mark chapter 4, verse 19. And here it is, he says this. He says, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, what does it do? It chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. So you cannot be fruitful in the spirit realm of Yah if you engage in greed, because you care more about the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of the world. Alrighty. Number 6, it causes you to take what's knowingly not yours. Let me repeat that again. It causes you to take what's knowingly not yours. It causes you to steal. It causes you to covenant something that is not yours. Remember, we went into 2 Samuel chapter number 11, and it talked about King David as he came out on the porch of his palace, and he saw Bathsheba And she was married to, you know, Uriah or Uriahu. And he went over and took her. Well, he had somebody to go over there and get her, and he covenanted his wife. Okay? So greed, what that does is that it will cause you to take what is not yours. That's why you see a lot of thefts going on, because that greed, it creeps in. Number seven, it destroys your destiny. It will keep you out of the destiny. Okay, remember in 2 Kings chapter 5, we talked about how Gehazi, he was trying to take what was not his, you know, that greed. You know, he wanted those gifts that Naaman was trying to present unto Elisha. And Elisha gave them back to Naaman. And, you know, Gehazi, he chased him and took those goods and came back. And guess what? He was cursed with leprosy. Not only him, but his entire seed after him. So those are the first four enemies that we went over. Fear, bad attitudes, greed, and also pride and envy, being arrogant, conceited. Let's go into the fifth enemy. Let's look into that. We're right back at Deuteronomy chapter number 7. The fifth enemy that we have listed is, of course, we're looking at the Perizzites. Now, the Perizzites, and when we go into the Hebraic text as to what the Perizzites mean, or the Perizzai, it means belonging. Okay, so you said, Brother Wade, what do you mean by that this morning? Okay, well, we're talking about people who conform. They are content with acting with the prevailing standards or the attitudes or practices of society. What they try to do is that they try to fit in. Now, people, we know that we're a peculiar people, a holy nation, chosen, you know, we're chosen people, we're a chosen generation, we belong to a royal priesthood. So we are to live in this world, but not of it. So we cannot, glory unto Yah, we cannot fit in with the worldly system. And you have people who are trying to fit in. And you see that a lot in the congregation today. They're starting to bring in worldly ways into church services and things of that nature, especially when we see the praise and worship team. It sounds more secular than ever before. You've seen people who were once gospel singers, they're turning secular and they're trying to produce a sound to attract the people. You don't have to do that. I mean, it's the word that will bring the people back unto him. Speaking of which, it brings us to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yah, that ye present yourselves as what? A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto Yah, which is your reasonable service. That's why you were created. That's why you were created by the word. To be a living sacrifice, which means what? You surrender all. You are a dead vessel as you lay yourself there on the altar of the Father. You are being resurrected by his power. The Holy Ghost enters into you. Now you become holy and acceptable unto Yah. That is your reasonable service here on this planet, to serve and to obey. And of course, to govern or to be a steward over everything that he has created. It says, and be not conformed to this world. Okay, that's the key piece right there. And be not conformed. Many people who claim that they are kingdom citizens are still conformed into this world. That may include what? Still listening to secular music and also what? Still engaging in shacking and homosexuality and things of that nature. You must let that go. Because you are what? You are going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There must be a renewing, which means what? There is an unplugging. You must unplug from the metrics. Okay, those of you that watch the movie The Matrix, it has a revelation with that. You must unplug for the things that are fake, the things that are tangible. When you go into a transformation, there must be a what? There must be a transparency. Okay, so you have to take off those fig leaves. You have to take off those things that have kept you conformed in the first place. And then the transformation starts. And then there's a renewing. Okay, so you're taking off the mind of society and you're putting on what? The mind of the Messiah. Okay, and when you put on the mind of the Word, you start to live like the Word. You start to act like the Word. You start to walk like the Word. Okay, hallelujah. So it is powerful, okay, that the renewing of your mind. Some of us on this line was drug addicts, were, you know, swindlers, hustlers, felons, sexual perverts, you know, watch pornography. Come on now, keeping it real this morning. We, you know, all of us ain't been saved, all right? Okay, not all our lives, okay? But once the transformation takes place through true teshuva or through the true repentance, crying out, first of all, the gift of grace must be presented unto you. And then you hear that voice inside of you and you break down, Father, please forgive me for I have sinned. And once you do that, the transformation starts. Once you have accepted Yahusha as your Lord and personal Savior, what happens, the transformation starts. The Holy Ghost, the persona, comes right into you and it shifts you. You should be speaking in tongues. Because the word says so. Once you have received the Holy Ghost, you will be speaking in tongues. There will be a transformation like never before. I have met people, hallelujah, and I have spoken with people, their testimonies, how they were coming from the gutter to glory. Oh, my Father. I have a book that's coming out. That's the title of it. Coming from the gutter to glory. How I was in my gutter, okay? I was, you know, no, I didn't smoke or didn't drink. But I was in sexual perversion. I was, you know, lying and things of that nature, shacking up with women, using them. But I was delivered from that. There must be a transformation. Hallelujah. It must be a renewing. You got to take that off. The blood of Yahusha cleanses you out of all of that. The Father takes all of that and he throws it in the sea of forgiveness. There must be a transformation, a renewing of your mind. That must take place for you to be a kingdom citizen. There's no way that you can say you're renewed and you still smoking weed, taking drugs. There's no transformation. Please excuse me. I need this. I'm sick. No, no, no. That's excuses. The Father is looking for excellence, not excuses. Okay? So there must be a renewing that takes place. I keep stressing on that. Church folks always talking about that they're renewed, but they're doing the same thing. Insanity. Before I continue the scripture reader, do you know what insanity is? Spiritual insanity is when you're trying to do the same thing and you're looking for different results. Guess what, people? It's not going to happen. There must be a different scenario. You must be shifted into a different realm. You must be shifted into a different circumstance, into a different atmosphere for you to have this renewing. That includes for you, once you get saved and delivered, you need to be in services. You need to be in Bible study. You need to be hanging out with believers. You don't need to be still hanging out with unbelievers. Okay? Because you might relapse. Just keeping it true. You know, and what happens is that now you're back into that sin that you were originally in, that you said, quote, that you were saved from. So there must be a renewing. The Holy Ghost does the circumcising. The circumcision takes place in your heart. The hard heart comes out. The fleshly tablets of your heart is now you're having a hope and heart transplant. And then he writes the Torah. He writes the law on your heart. That's why you can't do what you want to do anymore. Because the Holy Ghost prevents you from falling. And that's how you know the fruit of the Spirit starts to grow on you because of your transformation. It says that ye may prove What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yah? Guess what? Now your evidence, your kingdom evidence that Yah is still in existence, that you have transformed, that you have become a living sacrifice unto Yah. You cannot fit in to the world. It can't happen. Can't happen, won't happen. Those of you who watched The Preachers of L.A., I'm not trying to condone that show, but you saw some cases when some people were still trying to, what? They were still trying to stay conformed to the world system. Okay, so that is right there, talking about conforming. You got to come out of that. Alrighty, hallelujah. Just wanted to stress that to each and every one of us that's on this line. Another scripture that I would like to say before we continue to go on is I like 1 John chapter number 2, verses 3 and 4 and 5. I like those. It says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Yada, you know, that means to know intimately. You have that intimate covenant with the Most High. And if you do, and if you love him so much, you'll keep his commandments. "He that says, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his commandment in him, verily is the ahava, or the love of Yah, perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." This is the evidence. Okay? Oh, I love Jesus so much. Jesus is the head of my life. I like to give amen, hallelujah to my pastor. But yet you can't keep his commandments. You are a liar. And the truth ain't in you. The Holy Ghost is not in you. Please, don't shoot the messenger. That's the word that we're reading. Is, you know, the word convicts you. The word judges you. The word, you know, lets you know whether or not you have conformed or not. So you must keep his word. And when you do that, the love of Yah is perfected in you. All right, so those are the Perizzites, conformers, those who confirm, they conform to the worldly systems and their attitudes and practices, trying to fit in, trying to force the world to fit into the church. Alrighty. The next particular enemy is the Hivites. And when you look up Hivite in the Hebrew text, it means disloyalty. Wow. So your enemy number six is disloyalty. You see a lot of congregational members being disloyal to their leaders. And now let's keep it real. You got some leaders who are not staying loyal to the sheep neither. Nevertheless, the Father. So you must stay loyal to your covering. If you have a apostolic covering, okay, stay loyal to that pastor, to that shepherd, that under shepherd. Don't let other people put their mouth on your leader. You need to rebuke them, and then if necessary, hey, cut them loose. There's no way that I would allow anybody to talk about my spiritual parents. Because loyalty is essential for fellowship. It is necessary for unity. We gotta be loyal. There's no way I can go out with you on the battlefield, and if I'm hit, that I'm you know I'm going with you and I can't trust you. We gotta stay loyal to one another. Your word should be bond. Your vow in the name of Yah, and you can read that in the Levitical law. But you must keep your word. Where's the loyalty today? We see a lot of people church hopping more than ever before, going around saying Jesus is my covering. Okay, we understand that. Okay, but there's some kind of accountability that must take place Who's going to, on earth, hold you accountable? Oh, Jesus, he's going to come on down here? I hope not, because if his foot touches this ground, if he touches the ground of the earth, there's going to be a war that's going to take place. And the next time I know, he's going to be in the air, rapturing us up. So come on, we got to stay loyal to our covering. Stay loyal to his word. Stay loyal to Yah. Let's go into a quick story, if I shall. When you go into Genesis chapter 9, and this is, of course, why Canaan was cursed in the first place, thanks to Ham. Here it is in Bereshit chapter 9. Ham, he serves his disloyalty by looking at the nakedness of Noah. Okay. So he looks at his nakedness. He tells his brothers and the other two brothers, they took a garment, they bagged up, they covered him because they did not want to see the nakedness of the father. Noah wakes up and he knew what Ham did, and he cursed Canaan. What he did was, not only did he mock Noah by looking at his nakedness, but he also mocked a man of Yah. And when you do that, when you mock a man or woman of Yah, you are normally in trouble. It represented a violation of allegiance to his father. It violated that duty. Now, when I studied it in the Hebrew text, okay, and, I have to break this down, Ham actually told the brothers with delight what he had seen in an effort to mock him and undermine the authority and the anointing that Noah had. Okay, let me bring that back. Let me repeat this one more time. Okay, Ham actually went and told his brothers, he told them with delight, like he bragged about it. He mocked his father and he undermined Noah's authority and the anointing. And you see that a lot in the congregation today. A lot of people are going to, I can preach better than my pastor. I can bring the word better than him. But then you're mocking that particular father or mother, whoever your shepherd or your shepherdess is. And you undermine the authority that they have. Oh, you better read that word real closely. It says to obey what? To obey the authority that is over you. I'll bring that scripture up for you right now so you can keep that into, you can write that in your scripture reading. It says in Hebrews chapter number 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they what? Watch for your souls. As they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that it is unprofitable for who? For you. Okay? So you have to obey those that have rule over you and submit yourselves. That's talking about leaders in the congregation. Okay? Now, I like to say this. Submitting doesn't necessarily mean obey, like worship them or no. We're not to worship man. But you respect the authority that he or she has in the kingdom of Yah. And we see a lot of disloyalty with that. We see a lot of rebellion that takes place. Rebellion usually is connected to disloyalty. We see a lot of that that's going on. Okay, now we're going to swing around now to the last and final enemy. This is going to be a blessing right here. We're going to have to spend an extra time in regards to enemy number 7. And I want to take my time with this because this is probably the biggest epidemic that is happening in the congregation today. Okay, we're talking about the Jezubites. Okay, now when I tell you what Jezubai means, or Yeubai, this right here, I mean, you're probably going to say, yes, this is a very big epidemic. With the Jezubites, or in the word it says Jezubites, I have to take my time with this one because, and please bear with me this morning. Because we see, I'm telling you, I see a lot of this. And those of you who are trying to stay true to the word of Yah and stay true to the Father, it angers you when you see this happen. Okay, we see this on television, on the, gospel networks and things of that nature. Jezubai means compromise. Right? We see a lot of compromising going on. Wait a minute. This is in the word, but you said that they could shack? Wait a minute. It says to what? It says to abstain from all appearance of evil, but they could do that? You see a lot of that in the ministry today, maybe because that person is the biggest tither or the biggest offering giver, or they kiss the butt of the leader more than everybody is, brown nosing, and they get special privileges. And that's what happens. There is a compromise that takes place. And when you compromise, you give way to the enemy, and the enemy wins. Come on now. Watch this. If you read Joshua chapter number 15, verse 63, it tells us that after the Jezubites were conquered by Yashariel, they still stayed in that land, and they retained residence in the land with Yehuda, or with praise, or with Judah. Okay, catch the revelation. Did you receive that right there? Let's go to it. Let's look at that scripture. I want to read it because I just don't want to, I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to take the word for it. Hallelujah. Yahusha, or Joshua, chapter number 15, verse 63. It reads, "For as the Jezubites, the inhabitants of Yahushalom, the children of Yehuda, could not drive them out, but the Jezubites dwelled with the children of Judah at Yahushalom unto this day." Did you catch the revelation there? Where do you see the majority of the compromise happen during church service? Amen. Hallelujah. Right. In the praise and in the worship. The praise and worship team, they get up there. You see a lot of them snapping fingers. You see a lot of organists with their wrists broke and tasting themselves. I hope you're understanding where I'm getting at here. So the message is this. Okay. Is that you cannot compromise your praise and worship with the worldly system. You cannot bring worldly things into your praise and in your worship. That goes for the music. That goes for how you pray. That goes for any part of service that you do with Yah. You cannot compromise with the enemy. The enemy is out to kill you. He's not trying to help you, lead you back to the Father. He's trying to take you out. And when you compromise with him, you're sleeping with the enemy. Please write that down. When you compromise, you're sleeping with him now. Now you're a bedroom buddies with him. And you know how he is. He'll leave you for a season. He leaves some money on the bedroom dresser. And now you feel foul and you feel unclean because he used you and he led you once again. And he's laughing. Stop giving credit. Stop trying to make peace with the enemy. Stop giving him credit. Stop, people are always saying, oh, the devil, oh, man, I'm going to have to rebuke. Oh, man, he just at work again. Stop giving him, stop speaking his name out of your mouth. You're compromising with him. You have victory over him. You won victory 2,000 years ago. Come on, somebody. We already got the victory. But yet still, people compromise with him, thinking that you're going to get a greater reward. No, the grass ain't greener on the other side, folks, because he's a spirit of illusion. He's a tempter. He tempts you and he wants you to walk away from your destiny. Hallelujah. So come on, we can't compromise. People are compromising with what somebody preach, and they preach a good sugar-coated word, candy-coated, sugar on top, and now you're walking around with truth decay. Why? Because now your teeth falling out because you were so sugared up and so pumped up by the man of Yah just hollering and screaming, no substance. Come on now. We got to teach with confidence. We cannot compromise and trying to emulate and try to always use the same cliches. That's compromising, people. We must shift into kingdom thinking. We cannot compromise into the worldly system. We read it right here that Judah or Yahuda, they could not drive them out, but they get to dwell with them. Now you got a mixed multitude. And when you have a mixed multitude, now you have, disorganization. And when you have disorganization, now you don't have a strong foundation. And eventually, whatever you was trying to build, whatever the blueprint is, that the Father has gave you, it collapses. Even though, because I did a study, even though Jerusalem or Jerusalem was an extremely different, it was very different, it's very difficult to conquer. Okay. Now, even though it was very, very hard to conquer, remember, Yah gave them the victory. He spoke it. So his promises and his power had guaranteed the victory for them. So guess what? I want you to write this down. There is no excuse for compromise. There is no excuse for compromise. Well, Father, I got to use another tactic. I got to use the way of the world to get them into my church to fill these seats. There is no excuse for compromise. But Father, I want my praise and worship team to get the people up, so I want to use some secular music. There is no excuse for compromise. Well, I don't want to lose my biggest tither because I get $2,000 to $3,000 from them. And if I tell them that they're doing wrong, that they're going to leave and they're going to be angry at me. There is no excuse for compromise. None, zero, kaput. Get it out your head. There's no excuse for you to compromise with the enemy. There's no excuse for you to sleep with that enemy. What you do when you leave the enemy in your circumference or in your atmosphere, when you leave the enemy in place, what it does, it affects the moral and social conditions of your life. Not only that, it affects the moral and the social condition. And we're seeing this in the church, right? It is affecting the moralism. It's affecting the socialism conditions of Yah's people for generations. Now the children say, oh, you know what? Guess what? Oh, they doing the electric slide. Hey, look what they doing in the congregation. Oh, wow, they snapping their fingers and they got a nice little beat. I'm going to join in on it. Come on now. You can have fun, hallelujah, living holy for Yah. Now, come on, seriously. But people compromise to the social conditions and the moralism is starting to, we're starting to see the moralism of the church is starting to fall apart. People don't even go into the congregation anymore. Why? Because the world is like, look, if they like us, if they gossip like us, if they're having sex like us, if they doing things, immorally like us, there's no sense of me going in. I could say stay at home and watch T.D. Jakes. Come on now. We got to come out of that. Pastors, these, a lot of leaders are compromising. I just sit in this chair and I wait for the people to come. No, you have to go out and evangelize. If you want to change in your congregation, make it happen. Go out and be the restorers. of the breach, the repairs of the, you know, the repairs of the breach, the restores of the streets to dwell in. Go out and take the church to the streets. But a lot of people, they got that number one enemy. They got that fear. They have no power. Hit those streets. Hit the projects. Hit those ghettos. Besides, the world is a ghetto. So everywhere you go is a ghetto. Go hit the streets. Okay, we're going to go ahead, wrap up this last enemy. Then we're going to go ahead and also go through every single one of these enemies one more time. And then we're going to open up the lines this morning. So I praise y'all for each and every one of you having breakfast with me. Hallelujah. We're eating the fresh manna that comes from the throne room of the Most High. I'm the Obadiah-u. I am your brother. Good morning unto you. Kingdom hugs and kingdom blessings unto you. We're talking about the seven enemies, okay? We've talked about fear. We talked about greed. We also talked about pride and arrogance. We also talked about, conforming into the world. We also talked about disloyalty that people have with one another and with Yah. We also talked about greed and also arrogance. We're on the seventh enemy, which is the enemy of compromise. Okay, now let's understand the dynamics, because this is how you can defeat the enemy. You got to study the enemy. You got to understand how he operates, how this enemy, you know, is trying to, keep you from the inheritance. So we must be what? We got to use some type of strategy, some tactics, if you will. We got to study the enemy very carefully, and we have to say, you know what? We got to find out what can we do to kick compromise out of the congregation. So the Holy Ghost have gave unto me, thank you, Holy Ghost, thank you, Father, seven dynamics of compromise that we need to understand. And if one of you have one of these dynamics that dwells in your spirit, please ask the Father for forgiveness. Father, get this out of me and start living righteous. Okay? Okay, here we go. Number one. These are the dynamics or the consequences that happens with compromising. Number one, compromise always begins a downward spiral that will eventually lead you to your demise. Okay, I'll go slow so you can understand it. Number one, compromising always, there's no sometimes, it always begins a downward spiral that will eventually lead you to your demise. So you want to stay away from compromise, because it starts off slow, and then it starts to create a downward spiral. Okay? So it eventually leads you to your demise. Number two, compromise is dangerous because it does not destroy you at once. What it does, it chisels at you. It takes a little bit of your anointing. It takes a little bit more. It takes away. And then eventually, now you have been compromised. Okay? So it does not destroy you at once. It has that rockabye baby type of power. You know, it tries to rock you to sleep. Little by little, it nudges at you. Okay? It creeps up on you. Number three, compromising is dangerous because the more you do it, the less remorse you will have, and it's easier for you to do it. Okay. Let's go back. Let's look at this again. Compromising is dangerous because the more you do it, the less remorse you start to feel in your heart. And it becomes easier for you to commit that sin. You do it little, you do it gradually. You're giving in, you're supposed to be saved, and you're supposed to be delivered from that, but you're gradually getting back into it, you're gradually doing it, and eventually it gets you, and it becomes easier because now you don't have that guilt. The remorse, it gets shifted out, okay? So that is dynamic number three. Compromising is dangerous because the more you do it, the less remorse that you will have in your heart, and it becomes easier for you to do it. Number four, compromising is gospel. Thank you, Holy Ghost. compromising is dangerous. Okay. I got to take my time with this one right here, because this is relates to how the Father created us. Okay. Compromising is dangerous because it gives you a false sense of who you are. Guess what? When you compromise, you have a false identity. You lose your kingdom identity. You don't know who you are and whose you are in Him. Compromising is dangerous because it gives you a false identity of who you are. Let's look at the earliest form of compromising, for instance. Let's look at this. The book of Bereshit, chapter number 3. Genesis, chapter 3. We see that the serpent, right? The serpent is talking to the woman. Now, hold on. Number one, the serpent knew not to talk to Adam, right? Because Adam knew who he was, right? He knew that he had dominion over everything. Okay? So the serpent couldn't possibly go to Adam because Adam knew who he was. Watch this. Catch the revelation. Here it is. He talks to the woman because the woman doesn't have an identity. So he can manipulate you if you don't know who you are. Manipulation takes place through compromising. Oh, come on, y'all. Here it is. He asks the woman. Now, he's trying to use the word, and watch how he misconstrued the word. Because that's what the enemy does. The enemy will twist the word around. He will rearrange the word so you can compromise to him. My brothers and sisters, please study to show thyself approved unto Yah, a workman that needed to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I had to come back to that scripture. Why? Because you have a lot of people who are preaching the same thing. They compromise and they twist the word. And they want you to give up those goodies. They want you to give up your goods. They're not looking out for your good, but they want your goods. They want you to give up them good seeds. Okay, so you don't have, when you are a leader and you preach the word or you teach the word, you don't have to do all of that. Okay, so watch. The enemy misconstrues the word. He says, yea, have Yah said that ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of it, Yah has said that ye shall not eat of it. Neither ye shall touch it, or we'll die. Here it is. Now, the woman, because she's not Eve yet, right? Because she has no identity. The woman, she recites the instructions that Adam gave unto her. Okay, she got that. But watch what the serpent does. Now, she is sat up there, and she said that the word said that we will surely die. The serpent said unto the woman, you should not surely die. Look at the word. Look at that key word. He switches it by putting in the word not. You see that? So watch this. He also manipulates the word. And he says, yeah, you can eat that. And guess what? Your eyes going to be open and you're going to be like gods. Remember, he was trying to do the same thing in heaven. The woman ate it. She gave it to Adam and Adam ate. I really believe that Adam ate of the fruit because he did not want to be alone again. You know, she was going to surely die. And he said, I'll go ahead and die with her. Catch the revelation. So here it is. She did not receive her identity till after everything took place. She was able to be compromised. And as a result, Adam and Shava, or Adam and Eve, was escorted out of the utopia of the Father, out of the garden of Eden. Okay, and then, on the way out, her name became Eve. Oh, now she has an identity. You see? So, what compromising does, it gives you a false sense of who you are and him. Number 5, compromising is dangerous because, remember, I was talking about that, that you know, that rockabye baby mentality, that rockabye baby factor, it lullabies you to sleep. Because by the time you realize what is happening to you, the consequences of your actions are already upon you. A lot of people, oh, Father, why me? Why did I do this? That's what compromising does. By the time you realize what's happening to you, the consequences of those actions are already taking place because you do reap what you do sow. Okay? So the consequences of your actions are already upon you by the time you realize what is happening to you. And finally, compromising with the enemy, it causes you to be taken captive by that enemy. And what it does, now that you're being taken, now you lose the vision. Now you lose freedom, because where there is the Spirit of the Lord, right, there is liberty, there is freedom. So guess what? Now when you compromise, now the enemy got you. And then you lose the vision. You become blind, if you will. And then you're being brought to a place of bondage. And you're going to eventually going to have to ask the Father to, you know, to bail you out, to get you out of this place of bondage. And some people, they stay in that never to return. Okay. That is it for this teaching this morning. Let's do a quick review. Let's look at the seven enemies. Number one, fear. When the enemy smells fear, that's when the enemy, it just continued to beat on you. You know, you see that with dogs. When they smell that fear, they get to barking louder. When that bully at school, you know, I see you after school. And when you have that fear, when you run home, or when you try to take another route, or you go the long route, you know, you're in trouble. Now that enemy is going to bother you from then on out. And fear takes away that support structure that you're sitting on. When you sit on the word of Yah, you must have faith that it is a living word, that it is like a two-edged sword that is quickening, you know, that it has power in the word, that is powerful, okay? So don't let the enemy pump fear inside of you, because that is birthed through unbelief. Don't let him impregnate you with fear. Number two, the bad attitudes. Those of you who just have a bad attitude about everything. I don't know why, you know, everything is happening to me. I mean, oh man, I guess I'm a, oh. Rejoice in your tribulations. Rejoice. Glory in them. That's what Paul did. He gloried in his tribulations and trials. Don't have such a bad attitude. When you come into the sanctuary, you should have love and you should be smiling, and not that fake smile, not that fake love. I ain't talking about that hypocritical love. I'm talking about that unhypocritical. It comes from your heart. People can, you know, feel it come out of your pores. Drop the bad attitudes. The third enemy is the pride. We see so many people with their chests pumped up. Now, there is a thin line between being confident and having pride, okay? We do, you know, people do sometimes mistake in that, and it usually comes from low self-esteem, okay? But you do have leaders who are actually arrogant, and they are very egotistic. You know, it's all about them. It's not about the Father. And we must have a true praise to get that out of us. The fourth enemy is greed. We see a lot of that in the congregation too. A lot of people, you know, they got to have their Lear jets and they got to have all of this, and then that actually, yeah, they give a little piece of their little money and their little funds to the poor. Yeah, they'll do that. They usually do it for PR purposes, for public relations. But the greed, that greed factor right there, it'll take you out. It'll wipe you out. The fifth enemy is disloyalty. We see a lot of disloyalty. We see a lot of frenemies, a lot of friends who are also your enemies, a lot of backstabbers, if you will. We see a lot of people, they smile in your face and, oh, Pastor, I love you. You know, then after service, you know, they get to getting in their cars or on their cell phones and texting are bad about you. No loyalty. Loyalty needs to return to the sanctuary. We also talked about, hallelujah, we also talked about conforming and how people are conforming into the world when they need to be transformed by the renewing of their minds. They need to stop trying to fit in into the worldly system. And last but not least, the compromising. That has to stop. Because when you compromise, like I stated before, you lose your identity. There's no excuse for you to compromise. Be comfortable with who you are and whose you are. So what if you're different? You're supposed to be. That's what the Father created you to be. He created you to be different. You know, come on now. You know, be different. Be who you are. Be comfortable within your skin. Be comfortable with who you are. And when you leave compromising, when you let compromising, you know, when you let it dwell within you, what it does is that it affects, and I'm also talking about the congregation as a whole, it affects the moral and the social conditions of its people. All righty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. What a good message this morning. Those of you who have woke up extra early, I thank each and every one of you for coming on the line and, you know, learning more about these enemies that, you know, you already have the victory over. The Father has commanded you to be strong and courageous. He told you that in Yahusha or Joshua chapter number 1. He told you to be strong. He told you to be courageous. He told you to get the inheritance that's due to you. He told you to possess the land. Well, I know one thing for sure. If you have an enemy, it's time to go to war. Okay? So you're going to have to go to war. A lot of people don't want to go to war. They don't want to suffer. They want the inheritance without any fighting. Oh, no. You're going to have to engage. You're going to have to engage in spiritual warfare. Okay, it's not about flesh and blood. We know that, right? It's against those principalities. Against, you know, those powers that's up there. Okay, against those rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in the high places. Those are the things you are not supposed to be compromising with. Alrighty, let's go ahead and open up the lines this morning. I would love to hear from you. Good morning. Thank you for having breakfast with your brother. And I pray unto the Father that you are blessed and that you are encouraged and informed by the teachings that the Holy Ghost gave unto me to bring unto his people. I am honored and I am humbled to bring forth these teachings that shackles are already falling off of the spirits of people, of individuals, that people are being set free from these enemies, and that you have the whole armor of Yah on and you ready to stand against the wiles of the devil. So, you know, we're supposed to sharpen each other's iron. Iron sharpens iron. And I pray that it was, that it is so in the name of Yahusha. All righty. Let's go on to the line. Hallelujah. Those of you, thank you so much. There was a lot of people that was in the chat room. 12L, good morning unto you, my brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah unto you. Amen. Malika Prakat, kingdom blessings unto you. Shabbat shalom to you as well. Good morning unto you, my dear brother. Also, the guests that are in there, good morning to you. We have been commanded to edify, to build up the body of Yah, the body of Yahusha. But but we're starting to see a lot of foolishness that's taking place in the sanctuary. And these are the seven enemies that dwell within the body. Please try to study the Hebraic culture, if you will. If you know anybody that does that, please get some of the teaching from them. I am one of those who does it. I know there's others that teach the Paleo-Hebrew culture of the kingdom of Yah. And those teachings will help you. It brings a deeper revelation as to who you are and whose you are. Thank you so much. I'm speaking also to 12L. Hallelujah. Those who are on the line, if you like to speak, you know, one more chance, you press 1 on your telephone keypad. And also, those of you who are in the chat room, if you would like to call in and speak, you can do so at area code 347-884-8468. Hallelujah. That's 347-884-8468. Hallelujah to his holy name. Oh, wow. I'm so excited to bring forth this teaching. And I was taught as well. Hallelujah. All righty. Let's go on to the lines. We're getting a call from Durham, North Carolina, area code 919-519. You are on the air. Brokatov, good morning unto you.
I'm sitting in. First of all, I would like to say good morning.
Good morning,
and,
sir.
I just discovered the your teaching this morning. I wanted to listen. It was helping me to identify some issues that I've been presently dealing with in a relationship.
Yes, sir.
That I've been in for about since March. And one of the things, it was interesting, in the end of all that, the main thing that I've been dealing with in the relationship is the compromise.
Yes, sir.
And that seems to have created a situation of severance at this level in the relationship. There are just things that I could not agree to or compromise with in relation to my salvation.
Okay.
So I'm concerned. I'm concerned to the point of warfare because of my compassion.
Yes, sir.
At this point, I'm appreciating the teaching. I've wrote down the things, but I would like to ask for prayer for Alicia, and hoping that she will begin to understand the damage of compromise and its effects from something. Though we met in a condition, it does not have to continue if we're trying to follow Christ.
Yes,
and,
sir.
Without any compromise to ourselves, our condition, because we have them. We have our sins. And
yes,
trying to move forward effectively
okay.
in the things of God.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. I first of all, sir, I salute you and I commend you for coming on the air to, you know, to bring forth, you know, what is taking place within you. You know, that's one of the main things that we need to do is be transparent. You know, so, you know, first of all, I commend you for that. You know, I salute you, you know, in the name of Yah for doing that, you know, for you saying, you know what, I have a problem. A lot of us have a problem with compromising, you know, with the ways in the world. And, you know, I mean, the truth of the matter is, once you know the truth, you know, see, it becomes compromise when you know the truth and then you still continue to do it. You know, that's like transgression, if you will. So, you know, a lot of people have a problem with, man, I can't let it go. Or like you were saying, you know, there's a partner that still wants to continue to compromise and you're trying not to compromise. because watch this, because when you do have a person that you're with and you're trying to tell them not to compromise and they're still doing so, you know, what takes place is that the compromising, you know, that factor is still there because you are in a relationship. There's a soul tie that's taking place, right? And so what's taking place is that now you become to have those attributes of that person who you have that soul tie with. And that, you know, if that person is compromising, guess what? You're going to also start to compromise. So, you know, like I said, I am. We're going to pray for you so that that way that will be eliminated, so that that particular enemy will be taken out of the equation so that you can live in true holiness. And I was going to pray, you know, so that we could defeat all of these enemies, you know, that the Father has gave unto me. So, you know, we are praying for you. I will be also praying for you, you know, in my private, you know, secret closet, if you will, you know, praying so that, you know, you can go ahead and move forth, you know, in this, in, you know, in this walk with Yah without the compromising. So, you know, once again, I salute you for coming on the air, and we will pray for you at the conclusion of everybody else, you know, what they have to say, and we will end out in a prayer. So we will pray for you.
And I want to include the mindset.
Yes, sir.
The mindset, her mindset.
Okay.
Is her mindset is concerned. I believe the Word of God says that love should cover her. So without compromise, I do love the person. So I'm seeking prayer for her with the understanding to come out of the compromise. I'm going to even type out the conditions that were presented. I'm going to send them, and I'm wanting her to receive them. And that's more of the area of where I'm the dynamic of where I'm trying to go.
Okay, sir. Yes, sir. And what is your first name? Just give me your first name, please.
My name is Chris.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, so we will be praying for Chris and Alicia. Did I say that correct? Okay,
yeah.
Yes, sir. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and pray for the both of you, you know, so we will keep you in our Tefla, which is our prayers. And
yeah,
and that way, you know, so that you can go ahead and we're going to remove that now. So, you know, we have that power and the authority, and there are people who are on this line. We will all pray together, and, you know, there's power in unity. So we're going to take that out of the equation this morning. It cannot stay within, you know, your circumference anymore. It got to go. It got to leave today. Hallelujah. All righty, so thank you so much. We're going to go ahead and answer other calls, and we will pray for you. I promise that at the conclusion of everybody that is coming on the line.
Thank you.
Amen. Okay, you're welcome. Shalom. Love you. All righty. Anyone else that would like to, you know, come on the line, please press 1 on your telephone keypad. You know, we're going to pray for Brother Chris and Alicia as well, and please keep them in your Tefla as well, or in your prayer, you know, so that, you know, when a person asks for help, you know, the scripture tells us, you know, right there in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us that we must what? That we must answer, or that we must be praying always with all prayers and supplications, you know, in the spirit for all the saints. Okay, so we have to pray for him. He is trying to, you know, walk in the path of righteousness, and we have to help one another out. Amen. So, you know, we're going to be praying for him after I speak with everyone else. Anyone else that would like to speak, please press 1 on your telephone keypad. I would love to hear from you this morning. We are talking about the seven enemies that tries to stop you from your from your destiny. All right, here we go. I believe this is Sister Campbell, Apostle Brendetta Campbell from Atlanta. Good morning. It sounds like you're on the road again or something. Good morning unto you, Bronca Talk.
I'm sorry. Good morning. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
How are you this morning, Apostle A?
I am blessed. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, what I was getting, okay, what did I write it? I wrote it down. Please excuse me. I apologize.
That's okay.
I was saying, you know, you know how you said that the seven enemies are operating in the body of Christ, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
What do you do when you see the leaders that God has planted you under that they are compromising? How do you handle something like that?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
How do you deal with that as a minister in the kingdom up under that ministry until the Lord releases you? How do you handle that?
What I would do is that I would pray for that leader. You know, I give you an example in my personal life. Okay, I give you a testimony, and I will keep the names private. You know, for trying to protect the innocence. Here it is.
Right.
I was in Louisiana, and I was up under a leader. I was up under him, and he compromised with a Jezebelic spirit that was in the congregation. Now he was married, but yet and still. He was, and everybody knew it, the whole town, that he was sleeping around and he was going over her house 2-3 in the morning, talking about he was going to lay hands on her. You know what I mean? You know, and we know what type of laying hands.
We going to lay the hands.
Right. We know what type of laying hands that he was doing, right? So here it is. The deacon catches him, right? And the deacon was like, hey, you know, pastor, can I come with you? You know, you're probably going to pray for sister blah, blah. He said, can I come over there with you? So he said, I want you to go back into your house.
Mm-hmm,
and close the door. So that lets me know right there, there's a compromise right there, because now he's going to engage in a, quote, booty call, as they call it in the world.
Right.
So here, so here it is. Everybody knew. So I prayed for the Father to release me, because I rebuked her in the sanctuary, because I was the apostle of that particular ministry. And so I rebuked her, right?
Okay.
And after service, they told me to come into the office. So it was. Now we had an open meeting, right? She went and blasted everybody. You're not paying your tithes. You're not paying your tithes. I can talk about you. I got your name. She was.
He knew everybody's business in the church.
Right, right. So he allowed the Jezebel to operate in the business matters of the congregation, right? That's right. So he said, anyone else that would like to speak or have a question concerning this ministry, please stand. So, you know, the whole congregation looks at the apostle. Everybody looking at me. Okay? Watch this apostle. Everybody looking at me. So what am I to do? You know, am I going to sit and compromise and say, well, I'm going to let it ride? No. The Holy Ghost had already told me when she got up there. Oh, no. She got to get rebuked. So I rebuked her in the name, and I went to scripture as to why she was out of order. Right? So after service, they took me to the office. The pastor told me that I should be able. Now, watch how he, remember, we was talking about how the enemy misconstrued the word. So here we go. He says, I should be able to attend to my sheep at day or at night. I said, hold up. I said, off the brakes. Oh, you got to catch this. And people, I'm hoping that you're listening this morning, especially women who have been affected by these prowlers and these predators. Watch this.
Yeah.
Because that's who they are, right? They don't pray for you. They pray
on you. Prey.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So watch this. So here it is. I said, hey, he said what he said. I said, didn't the scripture says that the children of light, they do their business in the light, and that the children of darkness, they come out at light and they do their evil deeds? I said, isn't that in the word? Right. So he was like, besides the point, because when you know your word, you know, when you know that word.
Right, you got to know it.
That's right. Look, sir, you are an evangelist. I'm an apostle. I have the authority by the kingdom of the Most High to rebuke you too, because you're out of order. Because now he's no longer an elder, okay?
Right.
Because now we see, based off how he compromised, that he obviously did not have spiritual maturity, okay? So when you do that, you have just lowered yourself from being an elder. Now you're an underling,
okay?
So you can rebuke them. Now, I rebuked him privately because he did that privately. I rebuked the Jezebelic spirit openly because she did what she did openly, You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that's the way
that's
that
how you have to do it according to the word of God.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
You have to line everything up. When you do have to open rebuke, you have to have the word to back up why you're rebuking the person. It's not to embarrass them, but it's according to God's word, right?
That's right. And it's to love them, right?
Because
that's what rebuke is, right? It's love.
Yes,
in
yes.
Proverbs 27:5, from what I recall in my word, I know it's also in your word, it says open rebuke is better than secret love. No. You got to get rebuked openly.
Okay.
So what I did, I prayed. He sat me
yes.
down for some months.
Yes.
I took all that pain, that long suffering. I took all of them insults. I took that teaching or preaching the Bible study. And what happened
yes.
was that the Spirit of the Lord removed me out of there. Somebody was like, look, you need to go home to Cleveland, Ohio. So I was removed mm-hmm. out of that ministry, and I went mm-hmm. home. And
but
later
this is
on,
what I understand. How would you sit down if you were the apostle of the house, and you have authority over him? How was he able to sit you down?
Now watch this. I compromised.
So I'm
admitting my sin right now this morning.
Right.
I compromised to the illegal authority or the illegal
right.
The illegal order of
yes.
the kingdom of the body of Christ, right? Because what I did was that I succumbed by not taking charge and being the apostle, was that I compromised to the evangelist wickedness. And so as
okay.
a result, I prayed unto the Lord, I asked for forgiveness, I fasted. He said,
That was you learning, though.
Yes, ma'am.
And
so
one more thing, apostle, because I'm going to let somebody else speak.
Hallelujah.
You remember when you mentioned about people not wanting to go to war and fight the enemy,
yes.
you know,
yes,
that,
ma'am.
That the Lord told them? And that is true, because this is why we can't get rid of them people can't get rid of them out of the body of Yah, because when Yah shows them what's operating, they don't want to go to war because it's too much. It's all the fighting. It takes a toll on you. And a lot of people are not willing to pay that price to go to war, to get rid of it. So they'll just let the enemy linger and say, well, somebody else can fight it. I ain't fighting it. You know what I mean? So that's a way of compromising too, right?
Absolutely. Watch this.
Okay.
Watch this. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 20, he talks to
okay.
his prophet and says that you are my battle axe. You are my what? Weapons of war. Guess what?
Right.
You got to be used for war. You got to engage in warfare.
For war, it says.
You got to
yes.
go. Because
you
watch this.
To.
Right, because watch this. A revolution is going to require bloodshed. All
Amen.
War. Right? All revolutions. They require bloodshed. It's going to require
Amen.
Bloodshed. So here is the
wow.
Messiah. He shed his blood
yes.
for us. So why we
yes.
can't die for him? Remember, he was talking to Kepha. He was talking to Peter. He said, I died for you, so now it's your turn to die for me. You see?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so
be willing to die.
That's right. We got to be willing to die. You have a lot of people who ain't willing to die for this gospel.
What the Lord just gave me while I was listening to you. I was recording something on my post and putting that, but that's the confirmation. You have to be willing to die. You have to. It's no ifs or ands about it. That's why I believe he demonstrated war in the beginning of time and how we
yes.
have to go and take things by force, because there is an end we have to conquer.
That's
and
right.
He never said that we are going to get things by not fighting for it. It's all in the word that you have to fight.
If you want freedom, watch this. If you want freedom, guess what you
yes.
got to do? You got to
fight
for it. If you want
Amen.
Liberty, you got to fight for it.
Amen. Amen. So
serve.
I just want you to know you blessed me this morning. Well,
hallelujah.
Oh,
I love you
in spirit and in truth.
Love you.
And
yes.
I'm going to continue to just listen and pray for you. And
thank
just
you.
Watch you grow. You're just growing. Oh, my goodness. You're just growing.
Hallelujah.
And I love it.
Hallelujah.
I can't wait for class to begin January 6th. I'm so
yes.
excited about that move in my life, you know. So,
hallelujah.
Praise
hallelujah.
The Lord and,
oh,
and just
wow.
keep doing what you're doing. Blessing us.
Yes.
Amen.
Kingdom blessings. Love you. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All righty. Shalom. Shabbat shalom. That was Apostle Brendetta Campbell from Atlanta, Georgia. Hallelujah. Is there someone else that would like to engage into the call this morning? Hallelujah. Calling from Mississippi. Hallelujah. Area code 662. I believe this is my dear brother. And then after this call, we will go ahead and go into a word of prayer, and then we will be dismissed. Okay. Good morning, my brother. My brother Al, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, Apostle. I just first wanted to give greetings to the Most High God, Yahweh, and acknowledge you.
Hallelujah.
And again, to thank you once again for your teaching and how beneficial they are to me.
Yes, sir.
About a week ago, I was asked to do a teaching on a conference line.
Okay.
And these past 2 days will really enhance my teaching, you know, because I was instructed to teach the people on our kingdom authority when it comes to the weapons of our warfare.
Yes, sir. But
I hardly get on the line and not say anything. But as you were teaching, it was brought to my remembrance of what Christ said in the book of John when he told the disciples, he said, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. We pay a whole lot of attention, you know, as a whole, the body of Christ pays a whole lot of attention on Jesus being the Son of God and being divine. But we rarely acknowledge the fact that he operated within the earth as the Son of Man.
Yes.
You know, and I remember when he went to, it was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, when he prayed that first time, and he came back to Peter and James and John. He said, well, why aren't you guys praying with me? You know, and he realized that he was in his flesh. You know, he was operating out of fear. You know, he was afraid. And he went back again and prayed. And he came back that second time and didn't get that breakthrough. You know, and when he came back that third time, he looked at him and he said, well, y'all go ahead and stay asleep because I got this now. You know, I feel my help coming now. And it just enlightened me on how even, you know, how even Jesus, you know, he knew that there were things in our natural flesh that we have to deal with, you know, because he knew that if Satan had came and found anything ungodly in him, everything he did on the cross would have been of none effect. So he had to get rid of these seven enemies, you know, his own self.
Yes.
You know, and like I said, I just like to thank you for your teaching, you know, because it has really been, you know, an enlightenment to me and in the ministry that I have been, you know, ordained to go forth with.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. I mean, kingdom blessings unto you. What you said this morning, it truly blessed me. It just stirred up in my spirit like a Elizabeth Mary moment, because I can just feel it right now. It's just stirring up in my spirit. And I'm telling you, sir, I'm just grateful to be his servant and his prisoner, and to bring forth the truths, you know, because these are what's needed and necessary. And guess what happens if I don't teach you or anyone else the truth? I receive the greater condemnation, right? So, you know, I'm in trouble. You know, I'm gonna receive a greater hell. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I can't compromise, and I can't, you know. No, a lot of people don't like to come into this ministry. A lot of people don't want to come and visit the Kingdom Harvest, and they don't want to sit up under me. But I'm fine with that because I'm just instructed by the Father just to do what he has told me and commanded me to do. So that's all that I do. You know what I mean? Is that I study his word. I lose sleep. I don't care about that because, you know, I care more about the souls of his people. I care about, you know, I care about the salvation of yours and many others. People are looking for these kingdom teachings. Where are the teachings at? Where are the instruction for me? When is somebody going to teach me about sin? When is somebody going to teach me about salvation? When is people going to rebuke me? You know, when are people going to keep me in line so I can stay under the plumb line of Yah? And what happens, my brother, is that they get so caught up in the charismatic system of the church. You know, the $1,000 seed line, and you know the. What the image of the kingdom should look like when the kingdom of Yah is within you, And, you know, people get the wrong perception. And when they do that, they have compromised with the things that are tangible. You know, he said the things that are intangible are the things that are, you know, everlasting or eternal. So we have to really focus more on our spirit man, getting that in shape, because there's a lot of people who are malnutritioned in the spirit realm. And like I said, they're suffering from truth decay. And, you know, I'm telling you, my brother, it's just, you know, I just thank him. And I'm telling you, for Yah I live and for Yah I die, I don't care. I don't care what anybody does with this physical body, but they can't touch my spirit and my soul. And I have to keep it in line with him, or otherwise I will be disconnected from the inheritance that he said that he gave me. So I just encourage you, you know, preach that word. Give me the information. I would love to join you on that line just to listen in and to support you and to love you and to, you know, lift you up to the Father. So I love you, Brother Walker. Hang in there. Shabbat shalom, and I love you.
Amen. I love you too.
Yes, sir. Okay. Shalom. Hallelujah. That was Brother Al Walker from Mississippi. He has been a blessing to me. I've seen his spirit transform, you know, by correct teachings, you know, of other people and myself. And I'm so excited that, you know, this is starting to happen. And that's how you know that it is the fruit of the spirit. That's how you know it is of Yah, when that person transforms and wants to seek out the truth, because the truth makes you free. It sets you free. All right. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and I also give everyone that's been listening there in internet land and L12, may Yahuwah bless you as well, my brother. Thank you for coming on. And we're going to go ahead and end out with a word of a tefillah, or a word of prayer. And we're going to pray right now. And you must have faith first that is already gone. Okay. So if you don't have the faith, we might as well not pray. We might as well go ahead and just say good morning. So we're going to pray in the name of Yah, okay, in the name of Yahusha, that these particular enemies are going to be bind up. We're going to cast them into the lake of fire. We are going to rebuke these particular enemies. The power that's invested in us with the Holy Ghost, it is going to be gone, okay? So I'll be praying for all of this right now. And then that will be the conclusion of this teaching. And I will be on the air Monday morning, if Yah is willing, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. I will be bringing forth a word once more. Talk, teach, and testify ministries. I'm your brother, the Obadiah Yahud, the humble servant of Yah. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now, Lord, for the healing power that you have given unto us. And Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you have put the enemy into our hands, and that, Heavenly Father, it is in your word that we are to destroy it, we are to kill it, we are not to have covenant with it, we are not to have marriages with it. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, right now that fear will remove out of the bodies of those who have it. Heavenly Father, I bind it up and I cast it into the lake of fire under the power of the Holy Ghost that you have bestowed unto me. Heavenly Father, I pray right now for the bad attitudes to leave from the souls that are on this line. Whoever have the bad attitudes, Heavenly Father, I pray that they are healed. Heavenly Father, the attitudes might have been caused by hurt, by church hurt. It might have been hurt by child abuse. It might have been brought forth by any kind of abuse. I bind that up. I pray for healing for that individual right now. I pray, Heavenly Father, that pride, that conceitedness, that envious, that greed is removed. I pray also in the name of Yahusha that disloyalty will leave that particular spirit, that loyalty will be restored back into that person, and they will be loyal unto you, Father, and also unto their leadership. Heavenly Father, I also pray for those who are conforming, that they are now to be transformed by the renewing of their minds, that they should be the perfect will of you. And that, Heavenly Father, I pray now for Alicia and Chris that they will be eliminated and cut off from compromise. Compromise, you leave right now. In the name of Yahusha, I command you to come out now. I command you not to never return. You Jezebite, I command you now to leave them alone and that they are saved and delivered. I pray for all of this in the name and under the blood of Yahusha. I do ask and pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I love you in spirit and in truth. There's nothing that you can do about it except for you to do one thing, and that is for you to love me back, because Yah is love, and those that worship Yah must worship him in spirit and in truth. Shabbat Shalom until Monday morning, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your brother. If Yah is willing, we will meet again in the spirit of Yah. Enjoy your rest in Yah. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.